Father's Day, right? We need to relax a little bit. It's going to be kind of fun, I think. I had fun putting it together. But it does have some information that is useful and beyond the topic. How about that? That's the best way to say beyond the topic that I'm going to mention. Once I see that I can see something. Can you switch the video? Oh. Ta-da! Life on other planets. Doesn't that sound like fun?
I like purple.
It does look more purple there. It looks more blue on my screen, but yeah, that's a good color, whatever it is. You might be wondering what planet I came from, but I'm an Earthling like you. But that is still a topic that goes around from time to time, right? People say how they believe there is life on other planets, and or they may ask you what you think about the possibility of life on other planets. And so what we're going to look at right now is, what does the Bible say about that? Anybody remember the Bible talking much about other planets? It doesn't really talk about many other planets, especially not life on them. But it does give us some information that can be applied to the concept. So that's what we're going to look at. So I'm going to ask you the question. Now, this is an interactive thing. This is Sunday school, not the sermon. So who owns the heavens or the universe? Come on, say it like you mean it. Yeah, that's right. God does. That's right. What does Psalm 115 tell us? The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Okay, so the heavens are the heavens. Now, the phrase the heavens, I think nobody's looking at me like, what do you mean by that? If you read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What all is going on in that one verse? Starts off with in the beginning, right? He had to create time, because before that point, although that's a weird thing to say, before, there was no before. If he had to create time, you can't put things in order. So he had to create time so that you could even say in the beginning. That phrase makes no sense otherwise. So anyway, he had to create time, and then he created the heavens. That's space. Just a phrase for space in general, three-dimensional space. He created the heavens and the earth. The earth is lowercase there. It's not the name of a planet. It's just like you've seen big earth movers, right? They're not moving the entire planet. They're just moving dirt. So when he created the heavens and the earth, that means he created space, he created time, and he created stuff to be in it. So the earth, in that respect, is just the stuff. It's matter, dirt, all the elements, all of that stuff. So the heavens here, God owns the heavens. And what did he put man in charge of? Did you say fish? Yep, that's one part of it. The earth, yeah, and all the stuff on the earth, right? And this time we're talking about the planet. Yeah, so look at Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So, yeah, our main job here is to rule over stuff on the planet, right? Now, it doesn't say don't explore space. It doesn't say don't consider anything beyond the earth. But it certainly doesn't tell us that that's our primary focus. We don't need to be searching for life elsewhere, because he's given us dominion over all the life that's here already. So let's focus on that. So here are some things to consider, and you guys get to look these up. I do not have them up on the screen, and I did that on purpose. All right, so Genesis 3, the first 13 verses. Who would like to find that and read it for us? And you have to read loud because otherwise we'll have to stand real close to each other for the mic to work for you. You know. Genesis 3, the first 13 verses. You could probably tell me what the main topic is in Genesis 3, right? Can anybody tell me what the main topic is? The sin, the fall, yes, the sin of man, yeah, which is the fall. Yep, the fall of man because of his sin. So what in particular are we going to get out of the first 13 verses here? Laren, thank you. Wow, so they were even willing to admit that they did what? A three-letter word that they committed. Sin, right? They did something they weren't supposed to do. What's that got to do with life on other planets? It's coming, you'll see. There's pieces here. We got to put it all together. So Adam and Eve sinned. All right, and I promise you I shouldn't say promise. I don't think any of the other verses are as long as that one. So, Laren, thank you for being the guy that read the longest passage. Okay, Romans 5:12. Who can find that one for us pretty quick? Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Bob.
Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, the death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of all sin.
So what was the result of their sin?
Death
entered the world, right? Death entered the world because of Adam and Eve's sin. All right, how about Genesis 3:20? Just verse 20 of chapter 3. Who can find that? Who wants to read that? If you find it, just start reading it. Thanks, Kevin. So who are Adam and Eve's descendants? All of us. Every one of us. Every human being that has ever been on this planet is a descendant of Adam and Eve. Regardless of what continent they grew up on, or died on, or were born on, regardless of whether they walked the land or rode around in boats, every human is a descendant of Adam and Eve. That's important. How about Romans 3:23? Maybe somebody could just recite that one. What? Maybe you ought to look it up. If you're not confident of it, you should look it up and see what is it really? What do you think, Tim? So are any of us like Adam and Eve? Are we sinners? Okay, so far we've established they sinned. They're the parents of all of us. And because of that sin, there's death. And we are just like them. Okay, there's probably no argument with that. I think that's stuff you've heard lots of times before. Okay, carrying on, can somebody find Isaiah 59, verse 2? 59, verse 2 of Isaiah. Okay, I see that next time I teach, I need to use bigger fonts. See, when I put this together, I have a computer screen. It's bigger than the laptop screen, but it's still not as big as that. And so it looked plenty big to me because it was just a few inches from my head. So what else is a result of sin besides death from what Laren just read?
Separation from God.
Amen. Well, I mean, not amen that that's something we want, but amen that you got that out of there. That's such a clear way of saying it. Separation from God. Which is kind of a death, but it's not the same as the death there. So, separation from God. How about Genesis 3:21? I know, we keep going back to Genesis 3. Why don't he just stay there for a while? Sorry, but to kind of put these together in a certain order, I had to go back and forth. It's 21. Right, so God did something to an animal, and it doesn't say what kind of animal, right? It just says garments of skin. So a lot of times we picture a sheep, but we don't know for sure. So what did he do to this animal? He killed it. There's another word that we often use when we kill an animal for the benefit of something. What? Sacrifice. Yeah, he sacrificed an animal. And I think that's why a lot of times we think of it as being a sheep, because we think of God or of Jesus as being the Lamb of God, and he's ultimately going to be sacrificed for all our sins, right? And so I think, oh, well, this is the first time that happened, that an animal was sacrificed. But we don't know that it was a sheep necessarily. And it doesn't matter. The fact is, because of their sin, God sacrificed an animal. Did that animal cover their sin? I just gave it away. Did that animal pay for their sin? No, it just covered it, right? It just covered their nakedness is all it did. So in Hebrews 10:4, we'll solidify that a little bit more for us. If somebody would like to read Hebrews 10:4. 10:4, good buddy. Anybody here ever use a CB radio? So they can't. They can't. And it doesn't really explain right there why they can't, just that they can't. Right? We could speculate. I think the main thing is simply they aren't us. They aren't human. Humans sin. Animals don't sin because they don't know right from wrong. They don't know whether they're doing the right thing or not. They just react because they're animals. So they can't take away our sins. They cover, in this case, they covered some sin, but not, they didn't take it away. All right, how about John 1:29? John 1:29. And read these slower. We're going to run out of stuff before we run out of time. Wow, so John the Baptist is speaking there. And who would become the Lamb of God? Jesus. Jesus is going to be the one that is the great sacrifice for our sins. All right, Acts 17:26. Are we following along so far about the sin and how God sacrificed animal to cover sins for Adam and Eve. And then later on, we see that Jesus comes to be the Lamb of God sacrificed for us. What's Acts 17:26 say? Nobody found Acts 17. Is Acts hard to find? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Right after the Gospels. Tim.
From one man, he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land.
So would you say we're related to Jesus? Yeah, we are, because just like Jesus, we already said this before, we all came from Adam and Eve. So he might be like our 17 millionth cousin removed 100,000 times or something like that. But we are related to Jesus. We know we're not a son or grandson because he didn't have kids, but we could be a cousin of some type. He could be an aunt or uncle. but we are related. So he's definitely one of us. We are related to Jesus. How about Isaiah 45:21?
Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has anointed this from of old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior.
So how many Saviors do we have? There's one. Only one. Only one Savior. Only one. Say it to yourselves, only one. I don't want anybody to not get that. Only one. Hebrews 10:10. I did not stutter. That's the same number used for the chapter and the verse. So how many times did Jesus have to die to pay for everybody's sins? Just once. And he's the only one to do it. All right? Are we still tracking okay? We got where sin started. We got where God sacrificed the first animal to cover some sins. But Jesus is the only person that could be our Savior, the only Savior. And he only had to die once to do that. So, aliens on another planet are not in any way, if they existed, would not be in any way blood relatives of Adam, which means they wouldn't inherit his sin nature. And they wouldn't be a blood relative of Jesus, which means he couldn't be their Savior. That's important things to think about, right? If there was aliens on planet somewhere, whether they be green men on Mars or the moon, where do green men come from? They don't exist, so it doesn't matter. Although if they were from Mars, and since it's a red planet, that'd be like the Christmas planet, right? Green men, anyway. So aliens wouldn't be related to Adam or Jesus, so they couldn't be saved, and they wouldn't need to be saved because they didn't have that sin nature. So can somebody look at 1 Peter 3:18? 1 Peter 3:18. See, this is more fun than giving a sermon, actually, because you guys got to do stuff other than just sit and listen. So Did he die on each planet to save all the people on each of the planets? No, it said he died once. Jesus died once. Not here, and then go to another planet and die for the people there, and then go to another planet and die for the people there. He died once. So that's making me think, you know, maybe there aren't people on other planets if he couldn't save them, right? But let's keep going here. Romans 8, 20, excuse me, 20 through 22. Romans 8. What did Paul say to those Romans? And I got to tell you, we were in Rome in April, and they're still talking about him, about Paul. He made quite an impact. We talk about him here, too. Huh? I think Peter did that, didn't he? Just like his Savior was. Yeah, that's right. Well, we didn't go see anything like that, unfortunately. But we did get to see the Sistine Chapel. And you know the picture of where it's supposed to be Adam reaching up to God, you know, and then God's reaching down, you know. And every time they talk about the Sistine Chapel, they always show that picture. So I don't know about the rest of you, but I had in my mind that when I walk in the Sistine Chapel, that's going to be like the big thing up in the ceiling. Uh-uh. There's like 30 paintings. The ceiling's got all these different scenes. There's like 30 of them, and that's just one of them. And it's not even like the central one. It's off to the side a little bit. I mean, it was pretty cool. It was neat to see, actually see it, but it just wasn't, I just thought it would. Oh, it was crowded, yeah. It was, yeah. That's a busy place, the Vatican. Anyway, we digress. What was Romans 8:20? Did somebody already read that? I forgot. No. Somebody like to read it?
For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God.
So somebody could ask the question, is it possible that aliens have no sin, and so they're not cursed like the rest of us? But what did Tim just say about the creation? Didn't you say something about all the creation, Tim? What did you say about it? Yeah, the entire universe is cursed, not just Earth. So that would mean if there was people on other planets, they would be living under the curse that they had no responsibility for, that they didn't commit a sin. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? Why would God curse them? So it wouldn't logically make sense for there to be people there if there's a curse that includes the entire creation, but yet they had no sin. Because the curse that we do have over the entire creation was because of our sin. Why would the people on Earth determine what the people on some other planet have to live through? That would be kind of crazy. Mark 16:15. I kind of feel like a lawyer, like I'm trying to present a case here, and I'm laying out all of these things, and I'm hoping that you're tying them together. Mark 16:15.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.
So who can be saved?
All.
Everybody, yeah, every human. Because people on other planets, if they existed, they like we said, they might not have had sin, so we can't save them. They don't have anything to be saved from. Is that making sense? All right, so based on everything I've put before you so far, these are my closing arguments sort of to the jury. Does the Bible support the possibility of life on other planets? Thank you, Foreman Larry. Laren. That was great. Yes. The Bible, just following several, and we jumped all over the place. It isn't just one verse or just one book that says something about this. We jumped all over and we saw several things that indicate that it makes no sense for there to be life on another planet and the Bible to both be true. They're contradictory. So, I agree with you. Now I'm going to add just a few more things. Anybody heard of the Fermi paradox? Bob has. It's not one that people really see and hear very often. The Fermi paradox, it's pretty complicated. I'll try to read it slow to you, okay? Just because, not because I think you can't handle it. It's just because it's new to you and it's kind of complicated. So here we go. The Fermi paradox. Where is everyone? That's it. So Enrico Fermi, if you've ever been to Batavia, Illinois, that's where Fermi Lab is. And I got to tell you a cool story about it. The building, Fermi Lab, it's like two buildings they built side by side like this. So it's a pretty tall tower, but they kind of curve up from the ground and go up like that. Well, over the years, the top part of it's kind of started pulling away. So they had to add all these extra braces and everything in there. So it's just funny that this high-tech, because they do atom smashing and stuff there, this high-tech place didn't build their building to where it could just stand by itself. But anyway, so Enrico Fermi and all of his scientific endeavors and all, one time he was just having a conversation with somebody, and they got to talking about the possibility of life on other planets, and he just simply said, well, if there's so much likelihood of it, because everybody likes to say, oh, with, you know, there's billions of planets out there, surely life popped up on at least one other planet. And so he simply said, well, in all that likelihood, where's the evidence? We don't have any evidence of life elsewhere, anywhere. We haven't received any radio signals from them. We haven't seen evidence that they walked on the moon. Our moon, you know, why would they come walk on our moon? They haven't tried to contact us. There's no evidence of life elsewhere. So you might ask, why do people care so much about this issue? Right? If there's no evidence, and we've shown biblically anyway that it doesn't make sense for there to be life on other planets, why do people even care? Well, it would prove evolution. Right? If life evolved somewhere else, then the evolution must be true. Here's a nice thought. An advanced civilization on another planet might have discovered ways to cure diseases that we haven't found. So they could maybe even eliminate death. Wow. Wouldn't that be great? It would be great. But can you think of any other reasons why somebody might be interested in people on another planet? Definitely. And that's a good thing, actually. Very good thing, yeah.
Well, I think they could deny God that we are just the prodigy of people. In fact, I think there's a lot of atheists that believe that aliens came and planted their seed here on Earth.
Yeah.
You don't need a God.
So, anybody ever heard of Richard Dawkins? He's supposed to be, if there is such a thing, the world's foremost atheist, I guess, is what he calls himself. Yeah, the world's foremost atheist. Doesn't believe there's a God. And I saw an interview where he was asked, how did life begin? And instead of saying evolution, he said he believed it was planted on Earth by another civilization. What's wrong with that answer? Right. How did life begin on that other civilization? So all he did is move the question somewhere else. He never answered it. So, that's just crazy. So, can somebody look at Colossians 2:3? Now we're coming up with, a solution to this question. We've already kind of established that it doesn't make sense for there to be life anywhere else, and biblically it certainly doesn't make sense. What does Colossians 2:3 tell us? Andrea, is it?
Yeah. I wanted to go back to that last one. Mm.
Oh, that's excellent, yes. In case you don't know, Andrea is our personal missionary to Portugal, and she's home for the summer. So welcome her if you haven't already. All right, so what was Colossians 2:3? Did we already read it? Is my mind slipping? Oh, I'm glad that everybody recognizes it. We're all together on that. So what does Colossians 2:3 say?
In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge?
So, and this is talking about Jesus Christ, if you were to back up in the previous verse. Yeah, so where can all knowledge be found? All knowledge.
In Christ.
In Christ, yeah. Who is one person of the Trinity, which is God, right? So God has all knowledge. So we know somebody who has all knowledge. We don't need more knowledge from other planets. We know somebody who has all knowledge. What's Genesis 2:7 tell us? Genesis 2:7, the seventh verse of the second chapter. So who created our bodies and gave them life to begin with? God did. Don't you think he knows then how to cure our diseases? How to, you know, he's got the power over life and death. So the thing is, he may not choose to reveal all the cures for all the diseases right now, but he has them. So again, just because if there were people on other planets, you know, there's no guarantee they would be willing to share their knowledge with us, but that doesn't matter too much because we already know somebody who's got all that knowledge. Yes, sir.
I think sometimes we can confuse the idea of the sufficiency of Scripture with the knowledge that God has.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he has decided to reveal to us.
Right. He's way beyond that. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great, a great point. I have a background in science, and science is the study of knowledge. You're seeking knowledge. A lot of atheists and all try to tell you it's something different, but it is the seeking of truth, and that's I believe science is a tool that God has given us for him to reveal more about how things work. He's given us tools to study chemistry, physics. And yes, he uses math sometimes, a lot of times. Yes, Barbara. Right. Right. Yes, there's lots of times where he uses his enemies to accomplish his will, because that's what's most important, is God accomplishing his will. Absolutely. Man, you guys always have such good comments. Okay, so what we see then, when people are talking about life on other planets, they're just looking for a way to replace God. And that's what evolution is about too. If we could show that we got here by some other means, we don't need a creator. They're just looking for a way to replace him. And maybe you're familiar with Romans 1, 18 through 25. Can somebody read that? That's like 8 verses, so it's not as long as the one Laren read a while ago. Romans 1, 18 through 25. If you're not familiar with it, Once you hear it, you'll say, oh, yeah, that's where that is. Yeah. Romans 1, 18 through 25. Who's going to find it?
I got it.
All right. Yes, please. 24 and 25. Amen. So people deliberately choose to ignore the truth that they see right in front of them. Right? When we go out to, okay, we went to a wedding in Crouch yesterday. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a wedding in Crouch, but man, that is a beautiful place to have a wedding. It was gorgeous. How can anybody look at that and not think there's a God? I know, Bob, we are in a cursed world. But even the cursed world has got beauty beyond measure, beyond what a human could come up with. It's just absolutely incredible. And so God, the artist, he used something like the flood to shape this planet in just so many, just unbelievable ways. You know, I think of the Grand Canyon. Whoosh, just a gush of water cutting through the rock, not over millions of years. He did. It could have been in a day. Things like that happen around Mount St. Helens in just a day. But, yeah, great stuff. You had a comment, Bob?
Just, I have my Bible in that area. Question, why? And about them seeking, denying the truth of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeking a natural answer to a spiritual problem.
Yeah. Yeah. If they can show some explanation other than God, then they can live their life the way they want to. And that's what bothers me about some scientists today is, like I said, science is a study, the seeking of truth. You're seeking knowledge, you're seeking truth. But why would some of them, when they're studying biology and all, why would they toss out possible explanations before they even really seriously begin their study? They toss out the possibility that God could have created everything. They won't consider that. In my book, and I'm not I'm not a published author, so I guess I don't have a book. But in my book, as scientists can't truly be a good scientist if they eliminate possible explanations just because they don't like them. In science, you eliminate explanations because they don't work, not because you don't like them. And so if you're tossing things out because you don't like them, you're not a good scientist. You've got to consider every possible explanation. So that's me on my, there's not a soapbox up here, but if there was, I'd be standing on it. So how do you feel now? Do you think there's life on another planet, on any other planets? Okay, most of you probably didn't think there was anyway to begin with. But do you feel somewhat more confident in why you think that? Math question. If you've ever been a math teacher, maybe if you've ever sat in a math class, you've heard somebody say, when am I ever going to use this? I don't need to know this. I'm never going to use this. Well, I could ask that question about what we just did. When are we going to need to know all the stuff we talked about this morning. I might be asked if I think there's life on another planet. Okay? Well, based on what we just said, we can say, well, biblically, it doesn't make sense. And according to Fermi, you know, well, we have to wonder, what, where is everybody? You know, so you can, you've got some answers. I might be asked if I believe in God. Would you answer that differently after we've looked at some of these verses? What's your opinion on whether there's actually a God? Keep in mind that Satan believes in God. So just believing in God really ain't that big a deal. It's not a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing. It's not going to get you into heaven, just believing that there is a God. It's not going to get you into heaven. I might be asked if I agree that there are many ways to God. Have you ever heard people say that? You know, I'm a Buddhist and I believe I can get to God this way. I'm a Hindu, I believe I can get to God this way. But what does John 14:6? Somebody can probably recite that one for us. I am the truth, the life, and the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way, is through Jesus. The only way. So there's not many paths. All right. Oh, I might be asked if I think I've been good enough to get to heaven when I die. Okay? And the stuff we looked at today, did it say anything about being good enough? No, we had to have a Savior. We had to have somebody, a perfect Savior, die for us. Might be asked why I'm a Christian. Have you ever been asked that? Why do you believe that stuff? I can't answer it for each one of you. That's something you have to decide. I might be asked what one must do to be saved. And this is where we really, the rubber hits the road, right? Somebody's asking what they need to do to be saved. And I hope you don't give them a long list of things to do, right? All they need to do is accept that Jesus died for their sins and just ask him to forgive them and bring it home. But remember, it's the Holy Spirit that's saving them, not you. Right? You can give them all sorts of information, but if they're not listening, if they're not willing to accept what God has done for them, then you've done your part. You've shared the gospel. And so that's what I was hoping you picked up out of a lot of what we did today, was there were a lot of verses there you can use to just tell the gospel story, etc. See, there's more. People can ask you more questions, or you might think of more reasons to give them. Yeah. All right. I can't believe it is noon and we just finished. Whoa. Okay, can I close in prayer? All right, let's do that. Oh, Father, we're very thankful, certainly, that you did choose to give us life, that you chose to send us a Savior, and one Savior is all we needed, because he was perfect. He died for all of us. We thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the ability to reason, to put the different clues that you've given us in the Bible together, to realize that while you don't talk about life on other planets, that according to what you do say, something like that doesn't really make sense. It would be contrary to your word. So I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I just pray that you be with us throughout this week, that some of these questions that I said at the end that we might be asked, I pray that if we get asked any of those, you would bring some of these verses to mind and that we would have answers for those asking the questions. And it's in your precious Son's name that we do pray. Amen.